नमस्कार। All living beings love their life. All want to be happy, to discover lasting happiness and well-being. What each individual considers to be defined as happiness for them may vary one to another. Happiness for one may be very different than happiness for another. But they all search for happiness. And the happiness they search for is not really the image in the mind, but the experience of happiness, the experience of fulfillment and well-being, lasting fulfillment and well-being. There is a natural restlessness in every living being. That is the natural call of the Supreme to every living being, the call of the life force which moves all beings forward. Otherwise, there would be complete stagnancy. Why bother to eat or to do anything noble if there isn't a perceived need to do it? A need to be fulfilled. Because of this need, people search. They look for happiness and well-being. They search restlessly to find meaning in life. Even the animals in the forest, in the field, search. But for them, the idea that comes in the mind is grass or food which must be caught. And it is to survive. And that need to survive is common to all. The need, the fear of death, and the need to live. That is of the physical body. But there is a deeper restlessness beyond the physical. That restlessness calls for some type of significant meaning, some purpose in life. And when it has no fulfillment, when there seems to be no purpose to life, you will find many people do not live so long after that sentiment comes. When a person is old and all the duties of life have been fulfilled and it seems that no one needs them and there is no purpose to their life, they tend to die. So human beings must have a purpose, a reason for living, something that must be done in the life. Otherwise, why maintain? The restlessness wants to find expression, wants to find a way to be fulfilled, a meaning, a purpose, a noble deed to be done, a spiritual communion to be experienced. There must be some purpose. This search for happiness, for meaning, for purpose, is core. So when living beings cannot find their way to such meaningful direction, when they are blocked and feel that they cannot achieve happiness, they cannot find purpose and meaning for their life, then they tend to resort to self-destructive behaviors, addictions to drugs and alcohol, very high-risk behaviors. These types of things occur when there is an inability through ordinary constructive behavior to feel that they can achieve happiness and meaning in life. So every living being wants to find Dharma. There are four basic aims of human life: kama, the enjoyments of the body, to take food, to reproduce, to enjoy sleep and a good home. These are basic needs of a human being. And so the desires to fulfill sensual pleasures is a kama, and that is a fundamental need of human beings. Human beings start out their life simply trying to achieve physical well-being. But as mind grows in magnitude and life develops, it becomes more complex. And for most people, there emerges a desire to make a statement in the world, to express their own being in the world. This desire for self-expression, self-achievement, that is artha. That is the way to make one's place in the world. But after a person has achieved some degree of success, they have made their place in the world, then they find they are still not happy. Happiness has still eluded them. So simply fulfilling the pleasures of the body has not brought any type of lasting happiness. It has become insufficient. And then making the mark in the world, having achievements, financial achievements, family achievements, social achievements, intellectual achievements, people gain these, and yet they find, you may have found also, there is still a restlessness inside. There is still a lack of a sense of fulfillment and meaning. And so, due to this, some internal searching happens within human beings. And they move to an interest in finding something greater than themselves, finding a way to express themselves through noble deeds, through good works, through meaningful causes that they are dedicated to, in an effort to move towards the sublime. And interest in the divine comes into awareness. An interest in knowing something more profound, greater than their own existence. Perhaps you have felt this also. From this comes the striving for good works, the striving for dharmic actions, actions in alignment with truth, love, compassion, actions that serve the world. For a person begins to realize simply fulfilling their own pleasures or building their own accomplishments in the world is insufficient. They realize there must be something greater than simply the achievements of their individual person. And so they dedicate themselves to larger causes, things greater than themselves. And this self-actualizing, as it is called, process develops an expansion of ego so that one sees one's welfare not in only one's own body and mind, but in the welfare of living beings in general, in causes greater than oneself. And as Dharma is pursued in living life, and the development of the ego has expanded beyond the earlier stages, then a person moves towards the supreme, towards the divine, and in time may find themselves wanting expansion even greater than the good works and service that they do. Feeling though they are doing service, though they are surrendering in good work and serving others, it seems like there is a greater awareness, greater expansion. And dropping deeper, they realize that they are not the doers of the actions, nor are they the receiver, but the infinite divine self, the one infinite cosmic intelligence, is the doer of all actions, the receiver of actions, and the action itself. Recognizing this, the person moves from Dharma to liberation. And they become established eventually in the understanding of a wider definition of self. A definition of self not defined by I and thou, but a definition of self that includes all beings and is unbound by time and space. That definition of self has no dualities. There is no separation. And when the last shreds of separateness fall away, so does the restlessness. For what is there to be restless for? There is nothing to achieve. There is no place to go. There is only the eternal self, the one infinite being, And when the ego loses itself in that eternity, then it ceases to be separate. And the cause of suffering is removed. There is suffering in the lives of human beings, in the lives of animals, fish, birds, even the plants. There is suffering because there is a sense of duality, of I and thou. And out of that sense of duality arises separation, and the pain of separation is the root cause of all the other pains that a person perceives and experiences. They are all experienced as a result of this fundamental separation, this fall from grace. The state of grace is the state of absolute union. The fall from grace is the descension of consciousness into form and the experience of duality. In that duality, there is pleasure and there is pain. There is restlessness for wholeness. The return to wholeness is the restlessness which underlies all life, pulling it, pulling towards the One, towards wholeness. And these four basic aims of human life, representing the four basic directions in Muladhara Chakra, give the four avenues. But they are not random avenues for human life, but they are a sequential development of ego from simply merger into the physical structure to expression of mind and being in the world to the path towards liberation. And selfless love to the full awakening of realization of the eternal nature of being. So a human being in their unwinding of the bondages of mind and body, move through from karma to artha to dharma to moksha. This is the natural flow of human life. This is the natural path of spirit. And it is a return to your natural state of being. the minds of people form so many ideas, so many ideologies, so many self-important definitions and distinctions. Oh, my path is the best path. No, no, my path is the best path. And they can argue. They can even create wars about these things. It is amazing, the human ability to find disruptive thoughts. But in the end, the only path is your own path, is your internal relationship to the infinite divinity, the omnipresent, omnipotent, infinite essence, which is your very own self. Like a drop of water, poured into the sea, so you have the destiny to return home. You will return. It is your destiny. And the restlessness within you will move you naturally through any and all forms that it requires until it brings you home. You are being called. You are being called in the discontent, in the restlessness, in the movements of your life. They are the calling of your Lord. Come home to me. Come home to me. Forms change, circumstances change. You are today in one form. Then you may be a babe again in another form, and another, and another, until this calling that you have brings you close to the light. And then, like the speck of dust in the sunlight, you are burnt to the crisp and dissolve into the pure, eternal light, more brilliant than a thousand suns, more vibrant than words can say. It is your destiny to return home. In this form or another, that which you call yourself will return back to the sea of eternal being, dissolving forever. The journey through the illusion of duality. Now is the time for questions.
How mudras can be used for subtle enhancement of spirituality?
Can you say it louder?
How different mudras can be used to enhance our spiritual work and our practices beyond those that are generally used in meditation and pranayama?
The physical form is the outermost layer of your manifestation. Beneath it is your energetic body. Perhaps you are feeling some of that now. When you let go of the inhibitions of the mind and allow the physical body to move, and the waves of divine nectar are filling you, it will move the body naturally to different positions to dance, to express the joy, the unity in movement, in forms, for the waves of energy have movements in the body. They have movements in the hands. They have movements in the feet. The vital forces that are awakened with the flow of divine energy begin to move the body in different ways. They can make the voice sweet. They can make the singing like the angels, the Gandhavar. They sing the magical songs that haunt the mind. The music is sublime. The dance becomes profound, and the hands move to express this vital energy. This is natural movement. Out of it and out of understanding of it, within different cultures, certain dances have emerged. But naturally, all the dancers do not experience the full ecstasy of the divine presence which has brought the dance. So it can become more physical over time. But dance, mudras of movements of hands and feet, movements of body, positions of body, all reflect the certain divine energies. So in some cultures, in some places, the human beings who have experienced these flows of different energetic movements have codified them and passed them on to certain disciples, that they may do these movements in hopes that the movements brought about by the movement of energies, when replicated, will ease the mind into those energetics. And to some extent, there is some truth in that. But the real vital flows of cosmic energy move the body naturally. And the imitation is helpful, but is not a direct path to those energies. The direct path lies in dissolving the barriers between self and divinity. Letting go. Letting go. Surrendering. Then the dance that is danced is exquisite. The songs that are sung are the voice of heaven. The movements of the legs and hands and feet become exquisite naturally. This is all natural, part of your natural state of being. Natural. Natural to each of you. Natural. All right. Are there other questions?